Someone to have died unexpectedly without you even knowing, but yet it has impacted your life. It may be a small thing, but it's a big thing to God. And I want to share that with you today. No matter what, the very painful things that you're experiencing in life, the tough times that you're having, you need to know that God is there for you. There are struggles that we all have in our lives, hard times. I look at the world and everything that's happening in the world, the natural disasters that are taking place, that are happening around the wars and the conflicts that are happening that seem to be unending. The ongoing problem of hunger and disease and the effects of so many throughout countries of the world, and we truly are blessed here in America. The economy that's affected by every decision that is made and every decision that our Federal Reserve makes, as well as our Congress and our Senate and our President of the United States, how it affects us. Though they are in a place of leisure and luxury, yet it trickles down to us and we feel the pain of that. Or even a spear that drives people in fear and anxiety, and even in suicide, the highest rates that have ever been recorded over the history of mankind has been affecting our society. I stand before you today, church. How should we feel about that? How should we really feel about that? Because it's a need, and there are hurting people out there. I say that from a heart that's broken because I see what's going on. And all I say, Lord, what can I do? What can I say? And so the Lord just dropped some of these things in my heart that I want to share with you today. Keep this one very important thing in your mind, that God loves you more than you ever can imagine. That God loves you more than you ever can imagine. Though you may not realize it when you're in the middle of it or something is very difficult happening in your life, you don't know what the outcome will be, but you need to know God knows what the outcome will be. Suffering of any kind is tough, but it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It broke my heart when your daughter got up in front of all those people. Brooklyn, she got up and she says, I'm so proud of all you people. And I know who she's referring to. She's not referring to all the people that sat in the audience. She's referring to those that were handicapped. And she says, I'm so proud of you. And then she said these words that went to my heart. She says, I want you to know that I love you. Here is an 8-year-old girl making a statement that will impact her life for eternity. It will impact her life for eternity. You know, church, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, in 3 weeks, and you need to know this, and we really need to pray, and we really need to be very hospital. But those 10 recipients of those funds that were received are going to be here on March the 10th. They're going to be in our service. They were invited. They're going to come. We're going to hand them a check for $14,000 to help cover their needs. And I don't think there's 10, right? There might be 12 or 13, 14 altogether.
14,400.
Yeah, $400, yeah. Church, they're going to come here, okay? Maybe some of them never been in church before. Some of them probably don't even know even the songs that we sing. But you know what? We need to welcome them. We need to make room for them. I mean, if they come in and they need a place to sit, I'm asking you to give up your seat for them. Make them feel welcome, because they are welcome. That's right. They're the children of God. And we just have a way to reach out to them and to maybe give them a little comfort and a little assurance that God loves them and God cares about them. Church, I'm sorry I'm a little emotional this morning, but I just am. And I just can't hold that back. Paul said these words when he was in prison. I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust and believe, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day of his return. You know, God entrusts us with many things. As I share with you some of these things today about the small things in life and through the tough times and even through the tough times that this world may try to put upon us, let him reveal himself to you in a mighty way. The truth is, God is in the small things. He really is. We may just not see it, but he is in the small things. So let me propose the question to you today. And that's a question that everyone I ask is, that I see and probably that you talk to: why, God, why? Have you ever heard that before? Raise your hand. Have you heard that before? Someone say, why, God, why? Why would you allow this to happen? Why would you allow this to take place? Why would you allow this destruction to happen? Why would you allow the planes to fly into the World Trade Center? Why would you allow an earthquake to destroy a whole town? I mean, these are the questions that people ask, and they're valid questions. I want you to know. Sometimes there's answers and sometimes there's not. Why God would allow that? Why he would allow a life to end and a life to live? Why would he heal someone and not heal another? Those are profound questions, aren't they? And they're questions that we deal with all the time. So let me just share a couple things with you. When things are going well in your life, everything seems good with your world. When everything's going well, we feel this way, don't we? Everything's going well, we feel good. Our world is great. Everything's good. I mean, the sun is shining brighter. The flowers are growing more fragrant. People smile as they pass by you. There's a vacant parking spot at Dunkin' Donuts where you want to get a coffee. I mean, life is great. Life is great. But you know that's not true. You know it's not. Because there may be some days like that, but there'll be other days it will not be. Of course, things aren't what they really are and the way they are. And because of that, our feeling of the good situation sometimes is altered by the reality of the facts. That when your circumstances changes, then you change as well. And you all get out of sorts very quickly. Not because you're having a bad hair day or you couldn't find a parking spot close to your favorite store that you want to go. But you're up against challenges. You get soap running from the grocery store to your car because you get caught in a rainstorm. And you say to yourself, should I wait another 5 minutes? And then when you make that decision to go, then the rain pours down like never before. And you say, oh, I should have waited 5 minutes. Or I should have went 5 minutes ago. Or what about that one that gets their key locked in their car? And they have, how did that happen? But those things happen. You lock your keys in your car and you got to get help for someone to come your way. It's imposing upon your work and your schedule and everything you got to do. Or how many times you go to the store and you get what you want or get what you need, and when you get home, you forget that you forgot something. And you're like, do I really want to run back out? Do I really want to do this again? See, that's what life is really about. The power that goes out on your favorite TV show. How many does that happen to? Right in the middle of the Super Bowl. Why didn't that happen? You know, that's life. That's life. We have no control over what life is. But we know God has control over life. And he should have control over our lives. These things may seem trivial, but it doesn't control our outlook on God. Church, they may be trivial, but it should never control our outlook on God. God knows why these things happen. God knows why these things take place. We may not understand. We may not know. We may never understand. But we got to believe. It doesn't change our outlook on who God is. We believe that God is the almighty creator, the ruler of the universe, don't we? We believe that all things are under his sovereign control. Nothing is out of his control. This world may be out of control, but nothing is out of his control. Nothing happens in this world without him acknowledging it and maybe even giving permission to it as well. God loves you and wants only what is best for you. But through our hardships, sometimes it leads to spiritual misconceptions of who God is. And that's what I addressed last week to you. Through your hardships, misconception can come if you don't have a right mind or a right heart on issues that may come your way. misconceptions that God doesn't love me, that God doesn't care about me. You might say that God has abandoned you, or since tragedy has entered my life, God must have turned his back on you. If he really loves me, he wouldn't let these things happen to me. I don't know if you ever said that before, but I'm sure you have, because I know I have. I'm human just like you. If I said, I'm sure you've said it as well. Let's be honest with ourselves today. God never promised anyone a life of free pain. And do I need to say that again? God never promised anyone a life free of pain. No one in this room is going to be exempt from pain that's going to come in your life. Physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. Church, it's there. It's all around us. It's how we allow it to control us other than God in control of our lives. Don't make the mistake that so many have made, thinking that God has abandoned them when hardship has entered their lives. People who come in my office, I talk to people all the time on the phone, and they say, God must abandon me because nothing's happening on my behalf. And I tell them there's a four-letter word that you need to know. Some of them fill in the four-letter word for me, but it's not the word that I'm referring to. I said the four-letter word is wait. W-A-I-T. Wait. We don't want to wait. We really don't. We are a culture today where we can go through a drive-thru. We can get what you want. I mean, I got a Dunkin' Donut app. I can order my coffee for, not for me, but for Robin. And by the time I get there, it's already ready and I can go on. I mean, wait. Sometimes I even say when I'm in line, not coffee for me because I don't drink coffee. I do it for my wife because I love her. But I said, why is it taking so long? Wait. The Bible says, wait, because good things will come to those that wait. That wait. God never promised anyone a life free of pain. Don't make the mistake that so many have made, thinking that God has abandoned them. The presence of hardship in your life does not imply the absence of God in your life. Just because you're going through something hard, just because you're going through something tough, just because you're going through something that you don't think is fear or that should never have come your way. Never look at it that the absence of God is not in my life, or God's not in my life because this is happening. I think more than anything, we need to learn from that. That it's not that God is absent, but that God is there. We just don't sense him. We just don't see him. We just don't feel him. We just don't acknowledge him in that way. To the contrary, you can be sure that God is there. He wants to reveal himself to you when you are experiencing difficulties and problems that you can't handle. That footprint in the sand, what a great poem, what a great analogy of the fact that when there's only one set, God was carrying you through those times. Rather than approaching your tough times with the attitude that God has vanished, use the circumstances to find God. Use those circumstances. Take those times as getting alone with God, getting by yourself with God, finding God where you are at, and finding him in the midst of where you are at. He is there. He isn't hiding. He wants you to sense his love for you. He desires, think about that, he desires for you to understand his purpose for allowing the difficulties in your life. God is in the small things of your life. Boy, it's really something when God just like gets it in there and he wrenches it and he does what he has to do for you. You ever feel that sometimes? I mean, I watched that movie, Joseph, on Friday night. I could not but help to think that, or David, that it went in. You know, it went in. God had to do surgery on David. He had to do something in his life. And then that, he even twisted it to get his attention even more. And the more God has to twist things in your life, the more he loves you and the more he wants your attention. He really does. That's why he's spending time on you and he's working in you, because he knows what the outcome will be. God is with you. He's an all-powerful. He's a God that's capable way beyond any means or anything that I have at my disposal. God is a very capable God. If you're sitting here today and you don't think God is able, you're believing a lie. God is capable. He's way beyond capable than I could even ask or even think. But because he loves you and wants what's best for you, he will not eliminate those problems if he knows they serve a beneficial purpose in your life. Why do you think Paul prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove that thorn in the flesh from him? Not because he couldn't deal with it anymore, because he just wanted God to take it out of his life. But God had a purpose for those thorns, didn't he? And I don't know if there were many thorns or what, but he prayed 3 times that God would remove those thorns out of his life. And God's reply was, Paul, when you are weak, I am strong. These things are in your life to keep you humble. These things are in your life to keep your eyes focused upon me. That's why these things happen. That's why these things come. We serve an all-powerful God. He changes the hard circumstances in our lives. And sometimes they do seem to get harder, but you need to know it's what's best for you that he's more interested in. And he will not take anything out of your life that is beneficial for the purpose that he has for you. Here's a truth that matters. He never promises to protect you from all your hurts, but he has promised to be by your side during every bit of it. So God has never promised. God never promised to protect you from all your hurts, but he has promised to be by your side during every bit of hurt. I think of that when my kids were growing up. I wanted to be there for them. I didn't want them to get hurt. There were times when I tried to warn them of things that were happening, things that were taking place in their lives. Sometimes they would listen, other times they wouldn't. But yet, as a parent, I wanted to protect them. Now they're at a place in their life where now they're protecting theirs. And hopefully the advice that I've given them over time, they will use that to help protect. And that's all I'm doing. I'm standing before you today, just sharing with you and trying to protect you from the hurts that could come your way. But I know as your pastor, I can't stop them all and I can't take them all away. I will pray with you. I'll believe with you. I'll do anything in my power to help you. But I do know this, if God says, back off, Jack, back off, I will. Because I have to give an account to God more than anything. Or I should say, back off, John. But you know that saying. You got to be sensitive. You got to listen to the leading of the Lord. And I think that's the hardest thing that we as Christians have to learn. If you mistakenly assume that God is not present, you are spiritually blind to his presence. Do I need to say that again? If you mistakenly assume that God is not present, you'll be spiritually blind to his presence. If you don't think God is there for you, if you think his presence is not there, you will become spiritually blind to his presence in the future. Because right away you have turned that off and you don't allow it for him to come in your life. It is almost impossible to see God in your spiritual eyes if your eyes are closed to him. How many times have you closed your eyes to the Lord because something was happening in your life and you were afraid to even deal with it or allow it to do something in you? If you take God at his word and expect him to find him in the darkest hour, you'll be surprised that you'll see him in the small things of your life. Some things happen when you realize that your problem will shrink in comparison to the magnitude of God's presence in your life. That's where you got to allow it. It's got to magnify. You got to magnify the Lord in your life. God is with you when the going gets tough. You need to know that. He won't help you carry your load unless you ask him. That's the other thing about God. If you're not willing to ask him, he's not willing to help you. That's why it's important for us as Christians to have a nice relationship with him and a healthy relationship, that would allow him to ask to help us when the time of need is there. Elmer Hubbard said these words, "Success alienates a man from his fellows, but suffering makes them a kinsman of all." Success alienates a man from his fellows, but suffering makes a kinsman of us all. We can't always rejoice in somebody else's success, but we can also rejoice in their what? In their sufferings. We know what they go through. Let me go on to another area, and I'm going to do my best on this. But I need to touch on it. I know I need to touch on it. I think the hardest thing in suffering when we see the innocents that suffer. When you see the innocents that suffer. I don't know about you, but that rips my heart out when I see an innocent person suffering. But let me go a little further. I think the most difficult thing about understanding suffering about innocent people is when they are particular innocent children. My heart goes out, church. Innocent people are one thing. Innocent children are another. That's why it's so important we as a church, we pray for our children. We pray for them. We give them the tools that they need so they will grow and survive and thrive in a culture where culture, all that culture wants to do is what? Push them down. Constantly push them down. No, that's wrong. That's a wrong feeling. That's a wrong belief. That goes against, well, yeah, it may go against what you believe, but it doesn't go against what God's word says. When you see the TV reports of what happened in Gaza, and I know it was a while ago, by skilled men who take advantage of women, children. My heart goes out to that. I don't know if it does you, but it does me. I think about all the different crises that are happening around the world. Seeing father holding lifeless bodies of their children. Excuse me. The hurt that some of these families go through. Someone who sits in jail, they're not innocent, but their children are the victims of their crimes. They may not be able to relate, but yet there's a common bond in humanity that allows us to be touched by the feelings and the infirmities of others. Am I not right? You can't help but to feel a sense of helplessness when you see diseases occur and disasters occur. And I can't explain it. I don't fully understand it. I wish I had the power to heal everyone. I wish I had the compassion and the authority to heal everyone. But I know that's not God's plan. It's not God's plan. The ultimate healing will come when they go to heaven, but until then, God's going to be with them to help them. We are people that have hope. I have hope in God. When I pray with hope. I pray with faith, believing that God's going to undertake in that situation and God's going to move. Because that's what I got to do. That's what you got to do. You got to pray in hope. You got to pray in faith. The result of that is not what I do. It's what God will end up doing. That's what we have to be mindful of. If we're people without God, we are people without hope. Plain and simple, but we are people that have God on our side. That's why we need to share Christ with others. God doesn't cause suffering, but he allows it to happen for reasons that we don't always understand. Never allow your comfort to keep you from giving comfort to somebody else. Never allow your own comfort to keep you from giving comfort to somebody else. Going up to them, hugging them, putting your arm around them, shaking their hand, let them know that you're praying for them. Some of us, we live comfortable Christian lives while others suffer in their Christian lives. But that should never spare us from helping out somebody else. When life doesn't seem fair, church, when life doesn't seem fair, granted, I know we all can raise our hand and we all can testify to this. No one likes tough times, but tough times are even harder to take if there is unfairness involved. I don't mind being laughed at. I don't mind being made fun of. I don't mind that. But when it's done in an unfairly way or unfairness, then it causes hurt and it causes pain and it causes anger, doesn't it? The bully who picks on the less fortunate, then that one day that less fortunate becomes a bully. Not because he wants to, but because that was the way it was. It was done to him, now he does it to others. We need change hearts. We need change lives here. You can't keep on doing what's being done because you're always going to get the same result in the end. I did some research on this a little further, if you don't mind. I'm going to share it with you. Whether hardship is deserved or undeserved. The first level is of hardship is I deserve it. Much of the time, we can't blame the devil or God for the problems that we enter our lives. Often these circumstances are just the results of poor choices and foolish behaviors. I deserve it. Have you ever said that before? I deserve that. That's humility. I deserve that. I accept, I acknowledge it. The second one is I don't deserve it, but it's a part of life. Think about it. You get caught in a speed trap. You're not the only one that gets a ticket. 10 other people got caught in it, so you all get a ticket. You know? I don't deserve it, but it's a part of life. I was just following the flow of the traffic. Why should I be punished following the flow of somebody else? Somebody had a shirt, get in the flow, right? Or what was that shirt? Have you seen that new shirt that comes out? Be in the flow or get out of the way or something like that. I don't even know now. I'll look it up. But in other words, what it's trying to say is this. If you stop the flow from happening, get out of the way. Basically, that's what it's saying. We live in a fallen world. Evil, illness, and disaster happen. No one is immune from misfortunes. If you are hoping to avoid trouble, the odds are against you. It's not a 10 to 90% chance. It's a 99% chance. If you try to avoid trouble, it's still going to find you. As a resident of this planet's Earth, I need to inform you this. Sooner or later, it's going to get you. As a resident of this planet Earth, it's going to get you. The third level is this. I was doing something good, and this is the thanks I get. How many have been there? I was doing good, and this is the thanks I get. I won't even go down that rabbit hole, because that goes from everything from parenting all the way to teaching, all the way to offering compassion to people. And if you take that attitude, what will end up happening is what? You're just not going to do it to help somebody out. You're going to say, I got hurt that time. I'm not going to open up that door again. I'm saying to you, open that door. Never leave it closed. Those things come your way because God wants to use you. Sometimes trouble comes your way when you're being nice to someone else or you're engaged in a good cause. I understand that. But that's all right. Do good anyway. And reminding yourself again who you're doing the good for. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the cause of Christ. So level one, bad things happen to bad people. We know that. You brought it up. You brought it upon yourself. Another, in the second level here, just a little more antic. Bad things happen to good people. You don't deserve it, but you understand it. So you just endure through it. And the level three that I've been talking about is bad things happen to good people when they are doing good. And this is the unserved suffering. Meaning this, that underserved, you didn't expect it to happen, and you thought maybe something better will come out of it, but that's not what came out of it. So you're underserved. These are the three areas that I found that happen in life of suffering. When life doesn't seem fair, a lot of times, a lot of us find ourselves at level three. I was doing something good, and this is the thanks that I get. Why is that the case? Because it is the Christ thing to do. It's the Christ thing to do. They're not attacking us, but they are attacking Christ that is in us. Don't let evil others do or say stop you from doing what God is telling you to do. Your integrity, your honesty, your humility, your character is shown in all that you do. People see it, but more important, Christ wants to use you and he needs you to be that way so others will see it and know it. You do what you do, not to receive a reward, but you do all you do in the name of who? In the name of God. That's the precept that I want to leave with you today. That's the precept that I want us to try to maintain this week, that when suffering does come our way, that we will honor God in the midst of our sufferings. I wrote this up on the board. I found it in one of the studies that I was doing. Integrity means doing what is right, even when it's unpopular. How many unpopular things do we face today? You're crazy. You got an extra 10 bucks. Keep it. Be quiet. No, somebody else is going to lose out on that. Can't do it. Got to go back and make it right. Or even walking out of the store with something in my cart, which didn't get paid for, and then realizing when I loaded it in the car, oh, wait a minute, I didn't pay for that. Go back in the store. What are you doing, returning? No, I took something out of the store that I shouldn't have by mistake. No, it's a return, right? They're trying to convince me it's a return. No, it was in the cart. It came out with me. I need to go back and pay for it. Well, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. Front desk. I got a guy here who took something out of the store that he shouldn't have. Now the whole store knows I'm guilty. I don't care. I'll make it right. I'll make it right. You've been there. I hope I'm talking to people that have been there, because I've been there. You've been there. Integrity means doing what is right even when it's unpopular or popular. Isn't popular. Popularity allows you to live with others, but integrity lets you live with yourself. So important to have that integrity. Popularity allows you to live with others, but integrity allows you to live with yourself. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and next week I'm going to save this because I know this was a lot. As I was doing this, I said, God, I'm chomping at the bit here. I got to stop sometime during my sermon, and next week we'll pick this up. But church, I want us to be mindful as they get ready and prepared to lead us. There was a lady I read in one of my magazines. Her name was Linda Knox. She was 80 years old, living alone in Chicago, in the Chicago apartment building. And she was malnourished. Apparently, she lost her sight and her mind failed her. The article went on and says, among her belongings, they found $171,000 in uncashed checks, $189,000 in works of art, $400,000 in jewelry, and $52,000 in antiques. In all, she had an estate worth almost $1 million. She died alone in poverty, the article said. What's worse is that she had a will where she left everything to her friends and family, but she never filed it with the court, so her beneficiaries were unaware of their inheritance. She had an intent where she wanted to go and what she wanted to be done with. Because she never signed it, they couldn't execute it. They couldn't do nothing. It was turned over to the states. You know, church, as I read that, my heart was taken to something at the moment. My heart was taken to this, that we as Christians, we suffer and we live in poverty. Not because we don't have, because we don't take God at his word. Do you know that God has a will for you today? Do you know God has a will for you? Do you know where you find God's will for you? In his word. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Read his word. If you want to know what God has will of your future and what you want him, what he wants you to do for him, read his word. We have the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. We have that. What are we doing with it? Are we not reading God's word? Are we not applying God's word in our lives? What are we doing? Why, God? Why? Let's pray. Father, today as we just bow our hearts in a word of prayer, God, each of us have found ourselves in a situation in places that, Lord, sometimes it's unbearable. Sometimes we don't know how we're going to do it. But yet, Lord, you're there with us. Like we saw in the video, you're carrying us. You're walking with us. But there are times when you had no choice. You know what was best for us. You carried us through it all. And Christ, today, you want to carry us through it all. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He can't carry you through it all because you haven't surrendered your life to Him. He has a will for you. His will is His word. His word says, those that call upon my name, confess me with your mouth, believe of me in your heart. If you're willing to do that, then thou art saved. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I need Jesus in my heart. I need him in my life. Sometimes I feel like I'm walking through the sands of life all by myself and I'm sinking. Every step forward, I go back to. Can I just share a secret with you? Get Jesus in your life. And every step forward, he'll be with you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you need Jesus today, this pastor wants to pray with you and allow you to get your life right with God. Is that you? I just need a sign such as maybe raising your hand, giving me a sign, say, Pastor John, I need Jesus.